This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3477 for Tuesday the 30th of November 2021. Today's show is entitled, Picking a Fourth. It is hosted by Brian in Ohio, and is about 22 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, available fourths, old and new.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio, Brian in Ohio here. I'm out from under my rock. I'm doing the third installment on my series on using fourth on microcontrollers. And in this episode, I'll talk about which fourth I've settled on. In the previous episodes, HPR 3403, I gave a brief history of fourth in general. And then in HPR 3433, I talked about why I use fourth right now. And so in this episode, again, I'll tell you in the end which fourth I've chosen and why. But I want to give some other types of fourths that are out there just as an example, and reasons that are why they're good and why they're bad. So without further ado, one thing I'll mention before I get into this is that if you're going to do most of these fourths, you're going to have to use the microchip assembler for the Atmega boards or Atmega chips, and that requires using their closed-sourced assembler under Wine in Linux. It's a little bit of a it takes a little bit to get set up, and it's not truly free software. There is at least one good assembler out there that's written in Free Pascal, GERDS assembler, I think it's called, but I haven't seen any fourths that have been assembled using that assembler. So right now, if you're going to do this, you're going to use Wine and the old Atmel assembler that they did before Atmel was merged with Microchip. That being said, there are a lot of resources for fourths out there for all kinds of different microchips and for ARM boards. But for Arduino, there's a lot of resources and a lot of different ways to put fourth on Arduino boards. And so the first one that I'll talk about is actually doesn't use that assembler. It's an Arduino sketch. It was written by Dr. Chen Hansen Ting, who is famous for creating a fourth called eFourth. He wanted a fourth that wouldn't require any assembly or anything like that. He wanted it to be very easily put onto an Arduino board so people could play with it. And so he came up with this sketch. So it's a fourth written in C, and its pluses are, well, it's a sketch. It's an Arduino sketch. It runs. It's put on the board via the Arduino environment, so it's easy to do. It can whet your appetite when you see the power of fourth versus the Arduino environment. Hopefully, it'll get you motivated to put on what I would call a real fourth on the Arduino board. Its minuses are it has limited resources. It runs in RAM, so there's very little RAM on a Atmega 328, only like 1.5K of RAM. You can't add words to the dictionary, so you lose all your work on any kind of reset. And I tried using it, and it is a bit broken. It doesn't seem to work, and I'm not sure that's because of the version of Arduino that I was using to put the sketch on the board. But anyway, I tried it. It's okay, but it's definitely not something you're going to stick with. Now, Dr. Ting definitely put out a fourth that's very useful. It's called eFourth. He's created eFourths for many, many different kinds of microcontrollers and for regular CPUs. If you start searching the web for eFourth, you'll find his name. And some of the real pluses with eForce is that there's great documentation for what he put together. There is a book, E4th for the Arduino, I think it's called. There'll be links in the show notes for this stuff. And it actually talks about how fourth from a very low level perspective, how it works, how it's put together. And then it has example example fourth programs that you can run. And it gives you the full assembly with copious comments. So you could actually build your own fourth from this. And I think that's where a lot of other fourths have been springboarded from what he put together, which was a fourth that's built on about 31 primitive assembly language. They're called primitives that run the fourth virtual machine. And then all the other words, there's about 160 words or so that flesh out the whole system. So the pluses of E4th is great documentation. If you want to explore assembly language, this might be a good place to go. I did an HPR episode 2506 on building your own Lisp, which really wasn't it was about Lisp, but it was really about learning the C programming language. And this Dr. Ting's book on E4th is kind of the same way. I think you could really learn assembly language at a really very college level, upper level kind of book. It would be a good second book of assembly once you've done some other easier kind of hello world kind of stuff. This book would be one that would challenge you to really get into the nuts and bolts of what assembly language is all about. His E4th is a good springboard for building other fourths on different systems, and there are a lot of good examples in his book about E4th for Arduinos that's useful on all of the Arduino boards that are out there, or all the fourths for Arduino boards that are out there. The minuses, at least I couldn't find any binaries, like things you could just put right on the board without having to build it. So you have to build E4th yourself, which means setting up Wine, setting up the assembler, and that's not a trivial task. It's not super hard, but it definitely took me a little bit of time to get it up and running, and takes a lot of looking around and a lot of trial and error. But I was able to build E4th, put it on an Arduino board, and play with it. Then this leads you to the next minus, which is it's not being developed. There's no help. You're kind of on your own because it's not. It's an old fourth from a bygone era that's kind of just you would be out there on your own a little bit. It is a bit quirky. It's kind of old style in some of the stuff, but again, those things are not necessarily bad in themselves. They just make it a little bit more difficult. So the next fourth I tried is AM4th. AM4th is a project that's very well maintained right now. Some of the pluses for AM4th is there are binaries available. So you have hex files that you can directly upload to not just Arduino boards, but all kinds of different microcontrollers. And so you don't have to do any compiling. They're available, as well as all the source code. So if you wanted to do all that, or if you wanted to build your own custom fourth, that's all there. And so that's a plus. The project is well maintained. It has good documentation, and actually it has some of the documentation really goes into the kind of the fundamentals of how fourth operates, and some of the particularly some of the things that affect the architecture, the Harvard architecture that the Arduino and a lot of the flash microcontrollers use, where they separate data and program memory and some of the difficulties with that. That's a negative, so let me do the positives first. The plus for AM4th is that if you decide not to use just an Arduino or an Atmega chip, you could use other chips because it's available for that. And There are many advanced examples on their website for AM4th that give some real good examples of pretty complex projects in 4th. And the clock project that's on their website is particularly excellent. It talks about real-time clocks and setting things up and using different buses and just pretty good information. So the AM4th is a good place to go for a good current useful 4th right now. Minuses for AM4th. Building it is a bit magical. The source file is scattered over a lot of small assembly and 4th files that are scattered all over the directory of the zip file that you download from their site. It's all there, but it's all over the place. And they do give you instructions on how to build it. And if you're okay with just doing it and not really thinking beyond that, it's a little bit mystical on how it actually is put together. If you really wanted to understand how AM4th is assembled, you'd have to have a real good understanding of makefiles and really kind of walk your way through all these files all over this system, all over this directory tree, to figure out what's being put in to make your 4th. That being said, also one of the minuses that is that in the few times that I used it, there were a couple times that the dictionary, which is the main, all the words in your 4th system, it got corrupted in the process of just putting something together. And then to do that, to recover from that, you have to reflash the system. It's kind of the worst case scenario for a 4th, where whatever happens, it writes over itself and your system is destroyed and you got to start over. So that's happened to me a couple times when I used AM4th. There's a minus that you don't really realize it's a minus until you start digging into it, is AM4th uses different memory calls for different types of areas. So in other words, if you're addressing the EEPROM of the microcontroller, you have to use a different set of although very similar, but they are different words to access EEPROM memory or flash memory or the RAM. They're different words. And when at first you don't think that's a big deal, but then you'll write some stuff and you'll be addressed the wrong memory and you'll go, oh my goodness. And it's definitely a minus. And once you've figured it out a little bit. So that brings us down to the last 4th that I'll talk about, which is the 4th that I did settle on using, and one that I'll describe later on when we get into some projects with 4th, and that is Flash 4th. And so Flash 4th has been around for a while, and I actually emailed the maintainer and developer of Flash 4th, and he said I could read this back. So I'll because I asked him how did Flash 4th come about. And this is what he had to say. His name is Michael Nordman, and he said, here's some random thoughts. He says, I learned 4th on the Commodore 64 and starting 4th back in 1983. At the time, I only had a cassette tape as mass storage, so it was not very practical. I think 4th is at its best writing small programs interactively on microcontrollers and bringing up new hardware. In 2004, I got the idea of using a PIC-18 flash microcontroller for a 4th that would persist the programs you write into it, and the Flash 4th was born. Then there was a request to support different PIC boards, and so he wrote that. The Atmega version, which is what the chip for the Arduino board, that Mega version was written to get Flash 4th on the Arduino boards. That has made Flash 4th more popular than having it only for the PIC versions. Many of the compiled to Flash 4th are quite sensitive to their user mistakes and require reflash of the 4th kernel to revive the broken 4th system, something we just talked about. I wanted Flash 4th to implement a stable 4th that cannot be broken by the user. I do not want to keep reflashing the kernel just because I happen to type something stupid into the interpreter. I also wanted to get rid of a separate memory words for RAM flash and EEPROM. And so this allows other words like CMOV, dump, variable, and value to work with all the types of memory that are available on these chips. At each development spurt, there was interest users that made he had to put more effort into Flash Forth. Without that, Flash Forth would be a much smaller system. These users were just mostly university teachers that use Forth for teaching and lab projects, and small companies that use Forth for some small products. And then John Katsoulis came along and wanted to make a Flash Forth computer. So now you can buy a small board with a PIC24 and Flash Forth on it. There are not too many products with Flash Forth on it, or with Forth on it at all. So now Flash Forth 5 has been more or less stable for over 5 years. I mainly do some maintenance and add support for more chips. And of course, I use Flash Forth for my own projects. My favorite chips are the PIC18 chips with the inbuilt USB interfaces. USB is used as the operator serial interface. Microchip is dropping support for the assemblers. A rewrite of the Atmega version was done recently to compile with the XC8 instead of AVRASM2, and also the PIC18 version should be able to compile with the XC8. So it's a best regards, Michael. That last part is just like you said, the old Atmel AVR ASM2 assembler is not going to be supported anymore. So Microchip rewrote a new assembly. It's like an IDE called XC8, and I think that'll compile for all their chips, PICs and the old Atmega chips and Attinies and all that stuff. It's a one-stop shopping kind of thing. There's Linux versions for it, which is cool because before that everything was done under Windows. And I've tried using it, but I gotta dig into it to really understand it. And I will say this though, the newest versions of the binaries that are available on the FlashForth website for the Atmega are pretty small. I mean, there's a lot of system space available. You can make a huge, huge program if you really wanted to. And so that was just a note from Michael Nordman, the developer. I'll put a link to the website for FlashForth, of course, and all the other things that I found. And I'll put a link to a donate page for him, too, because he could use a little money, I think, now and then if you're going to use his Forth to help the to help him buy tools and things like that. So I settled on FlashForth. The pluses that I see are it's actively developed, just like we said, or at least actively maintained. There are binaries available. So again, you don't have to build anything. You don't have to assemble anything yourself. You can grab the binary for the few boards that are out there at Mega 328s, at Mega 2560s, and some of the PIC chips, of course, and you can just flash them on the chip without having to do any assembly. So don't let that be a barrier to entry. He said in his note, the Flash Forth is robust. I haven't broken it yet. I've never had to reflash the kernel, the basic Forth system, because of anything that I did while programming the chip. So, you know, you'll recover from whatever, and you can just empty out the dictionary, some good words to just start afresh without having to reflash. Very well built in, very well thought out. I like the Flash Forth because right from the start, it includes some of the words that you don't really, until you've done some stuff with it, that you realize, oh, it'd be nice if that word was included. A pause for a microsecond kind of thing. Ticks, which are like, you know, system clock kind of stuff, and that are available and already built in. They're not stuff you have to add later on. They're already built into the system. So there's some really good, well thought out stuff there. It has a real small footprint. That's a plus. It leaves more programming space. And it does have a unified memory. So you don't really, in some ways, you don't have to think about it too much. And it's really easy to swap between the memory spaces. But you don't have to use different vocabulary. You use the same words when you're addressing memory. You just have to point to where you want to go, which is a plus. Once you get into it, you realize, oh, this is a nice feature. Not a lot of negatives. I really like Flash Forth, but I will say the documentation, although good, is sort of very PIC-oriented, PIC being the old PIC chips. And so there's some stuff you have to sort of translate into if you're going to use the Atmega chips. It's not hard, but it'd be nice if there was some more straightforward Atmega documentation. That being said, too, there's at least one good website, arduinoforth.com, I think it is. The link will be in the show notes. And it seems to be somehow connected with Flash Forth. I could be completely wrong, but a problem there for me personally is that a lot of the stuff's in French, so it's hard for me to figure out exactly. Well, not a lot. There's stuff in there that I wish I could read, but I'm sorry, I can't read French. That's my bad. That's not a minus. That's my minus. The other minus in some ways is that the Flash Forth is definitely tied to the microchip development tools. So to get beyond that, to make a custom Flash Forth, and you really have to set up all that microchip development stuff onto your system. Not impossible, but definitely not the easiest thing in the world. On that note, I'm at about 20 minutes, I think. I think I'll stop there. And on the next show, I will definitely show you how to install Flash Forth on an Arduino board. And I will do the obligatory Hello World program. And so that finishes this episode. Thanks for listening. I wanted to leave you with a thought. Speed doesn't kill. It's the rapid dissipation of speed that kills. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.